It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. Welcome, welcome everyone to the Caribbean Radio Show. That's right. Here at the Caribbean Radio Show, we are known as the Knowledge Station. Each and every week, coming to you, giving you savvy solutions you can use. And today, ladies, today I have a special gift for all the mamas out there. You know, if you have actually just been doing your thing, parenting, having your career, and you need a story of inspiration, call your cousins, call your friends, tell people to tune on in. That's right. To the 2.5 million listeners out there, this is the most special gift that I can give you. Harriet Tubman is on her way today. That's right. In just a few minutes, the greatest granddaughter of Harriet Tubman is coming. And if you just watch, you know, as well as pray, listen for the music. Because just like many, many moons ago, we would listen and there would be a songstress that would give us the blueprint of knowing when to move. And today, Harriet Tubman's greatest granddaughter is coming as the songstress. And guess what? Just like her great-grandmother, she's never lost a passenger. So if you're someone in the States right now just considering what it's like for Queen Sunny Honey to leave the Americas, living abroad, I have Mother Nature herself, the songstress herself, someone who has actually been here much, much longer than me. A woman who has brought forth a set of twins. Yes, like the African goddess herself. She is a mother to many in a school of fish around the world. I present to you Miss Felicia Brown. Are you with us?
Wow. What an introduction. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show. Tell us, where are you originally from and what year did you move from America?
I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida, by way of Texas and Columbus, Georgia, where my parents still reside, both in Georgia and Florida. I moved to Kuwait in December 2011.
What brought you to Kuwait?
You know, I just wanted to see something new. I thought, you know, why not? The world was my oyster. I had studied abroad in university, and I saw us everywhere that I went. I made friends with people from other continents and countries. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to go see. So I literally just started applying blindly.
Wow. So tell us about your educational background, because we want to give the people out here a sense of the hope that it comes with leaving America and finding a career.
Yes, I have a bachelor's degree in communication. And then I went and completed a teacher preparation program in Dallas, Texas. So I did alternative teacher preparation so that I could have my teaching certification. And then that was it. I bounced out.
Tell us about 2011. As a woman of color, what was the most, the greatest fear you had about leaving? And also, what we want to know, what was the greatest myth once you left?
You know, I didn't really have a fear. I was eager to leave. I was, you know, I had, you know, the taste in my mouth. I had been to Barbados and the Gambia, and I had visited China and South Korea, and, you know, those were just visits. I had studied abroad in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and I thought to myself, oh, this is done. I'm doing this. So I wasn't actually afraid of anything. If there was anything that I was concerned about, it was just getting it done quickly. That's all I can say. I was like, let's go. Like, listen, are the wheels up yet? That's all it was. And once I made the transition, you know, it was confirmed. Like, wow, this is, you know, I'm supposed to be where I am.
Your story is so amazing already hearing it because of the timing right now. I know that people are listening and getting that taste that you're talking about. And one of the most amazing things is hearing that you had exposure through vacations and just wanting to express how important it is to get out there and see that the world is quite different. What are some of the distinct changes that you just, I'm so like this when I'm not in America, this is not a part of the design for me, but when I'm in America, I have to deal with this.
You know, I feel like I want to say something, but it wasn't what I directly experienced. It was more what I saw all the time in the news media. You know, I didn't directly experience in my personal experience racism, but, you know, the collective, you know, if we really, you know, sit with ourselves and remember, you know, we as Africans, we can remember our collective consciousness because it's still a part of us. So I used to see on the television, here on the radio, you know, see in the news and read in the newspapers, you know, about, you know, the systemic disenfranchisement of Black and Africanoid people in America. I had never had a personal experience with it, but, you know, it was pretty toxic to kind of be immersed in it. But it wasn't enough to make me say, like, I want to leave. I just felt like, you know what, the world is my oyster, you know, so why not? Culturally, the difference for the place that I chose, which is, you know, here in Kuwait, in the desert, there, it's really male-centered. And being a single mother in the States, there is still some male-centeredness, but it's not to the degree that it is, you know, here. And so it took a lot of preparation, a lot of research, a lot of asking, and, you know, not being afraid to make myself look uninformed so that I could prepare for the move, because I knew that I had my twins in tow with me.
As a mother having children abroad, when you look at, could you share some of the advantages that you know, because my children are abroad, they're exposed to this in comparison to being raised in America?
Well, when we were in America, so the place that I stayed was pretty multicultural, where we moved from, not where the girls were born, but where we moved from, which was in Texas. There was a large Hispanic and Latin American community, a large Chinese community, and a large African community. So they had the exposure, but the degree was different again. So when we came here, you know, when we were in Texas living, the girls were learning Spanish and English, and now they've been able to add Arabic to their list of languages that they are becoming proficient in. Because everyone around them is speaking several languages at once, you know. All of their friends have three or more languages. And so it's not uncommon in America, you know, depending on where you are, it could be uncommon if you take such an interest at a young age. So my daughters, you know, didn't really stand out here like they kind of stood out, you know, in America. Zuri and Afine have been reading books since the age of two. But here, no one kind of, you know, no one blinks at it. It's kind of an expectation that, you know, they're intelligent, you know, they're knowledgeable, they're poised, and that's the way they're supposed to be. So I think maybe that was you know, the one difference coming here as opposed to living in America. And also then, you know, I had homeschooled Zuria and Hafidi, so they didn't attend public school. They attended public school for 1 year, actually the year that I was completing my alternative teacher preparation program, because I needed to be there. So I actually did my student teaching in the fifth grade at the school that they were attending, and it was their first time in public school, first and last. And there was bullying at the school. They didn't experience it, but, you know, because they were in first grade. But I knew that that would also, you know, be a reason, you know, to add to the list of why I would want to raise them abroad. Because I'm not saying there isn't bullying here, but it's different. More, you know, social classes and groups than it is just, I don't like you because, you know. And so I just wanted them to be able to feel like their interests were normal, playing the piano, you know, basketball, art, sewing, languages. So they, you know, because to me, people in Kuwait are people of leisure. So they just kind of fit, you know, right in. It was normal that they had a piano teacher. It was normal that they, you know, wrote in cursive or spoke different languages or had interest in novels, you know, in second grade. It was normal.
One of the things I've always admired about you and the girls is your travel experiences. And, you know, for everyone that's listening, the same way kids would go to grandma's during the summer, I have witnessed Miss Felicia just send the girls off on these nice 5-star flights, and the babies are just living like celebrities. I remember hearing the stories. Could you please share what it's like as a mom to before COVID, when you would have the girls get on flights and fly back home on the other side of the world, and it was so confident in listening and knowing that your children were safe. Can you just share a little bit of what those experiences were like for you as a mom?
Well, they had to meet age requirements, but they have, I really have to say it was the airlines that I chose that, you know, just had stellar service. They were in communication with me every step along the way. You know, and Zuri and Afimi are worldly, so, you know, they're not really afraid. They, you know, they said they're like a champ, you know, on their flights. I loved using Qatar Airways and Emirates. I mean, they took care of Zuri and Afini like they were their children, feeding them and, you know, monitoring them. And if anything happened, and because I remember once their flight got canceled, and I was panicking, and I was like, oh, no. And they were like, why are you panicking, you know? They did not have access to the airport. They were put in a 5-star hotel. They, you know, were given breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the entire time. You know, no one had access to their rooms. I had access to them. You know, so it happened a couple of times, actually. So the first time, you know, being a mother, I thought, oh my gosh. And then, but they were so relaxed. Zuri and Afini were like, oh yeah, we ordered room service. Or, you know, I was like, really? You know, who's in the room? And they were like, no one, mommy. You know, they took them to the pool. They really catered to them until their last and final destination. So it was really relaxing. And then, you know, yes, every summer they would go spend half the summer with grandma and their grandpa and the other half with their other set of grandparents. And so they became used to it. And then I stopped fretting. Because the airline, you know, was just really always responsible for them. And so, you know, it was very secure. They had their passports the whole time. There was always eyes on them. They never really took them through the airport. They kept them in lounges, business class lounges, and, you know, just kind of gave them snacks and let them sit and, you know, use the laptop or the iPad, you know, watch television if they wanted to. There were beds in there they could sleep in. It was just, you know, like, wow, my children are flying better than me, right? You know, till they got to their final destination. And all I really had to do was go fill out a form. You know, there wasn't any extra charge. You know, I had to pay for an adult ticket, but there was no extra charge for the accompaniment. And so I just thought, this is amazing.
See, people, what she's sharing right there is that peace that passes all understanding. That's the limitless blessings I want for more and more Black mothers, to just like not have that weight on you to allow your children to have a better experience than others are having. Everyone's experience is not the same in yours. People, if you've ever heard me talk about going to Africa, going to Ghana, it's this woman right here. Can you, it's been since 2011 since you left, and you've not just had a career raising beautiful twins, but you've been really doing the most out here in Africa. Share as little as you want, because people, just to let you know, when you move in silence, honey, there's some big things going on. When I said I had a gift for you, when I said Harriet Tubman, baby, y'all might as well pack your bags, get your passport applications ready, and get ready to be inspired. Tell us, what is so intriguing about this continent? Because you got me feeling like that's where people are about to be in the next 5 to 10 years, guarantee. You have actually just been the founding mother of what's to come.
Wow. You know, from the very first time that I visited, I had a friend in Columbus, Georgia. She used to work and own a salon that I would frequent to get my hair braided when I was wearing braids before I locked it. And we just became like family. She was so nice, and we would talk and chat. And she used to always say to me in her Gambian accent, you know, Felicia, you need to come to Gambia. And I used to be like, girl, I can't go to Gambia. She was like, why not? I was like, I mean, I guess I can. You know? And she was like, 1 minute, I'm going to call my mom. She called her mother, and her mother was just like, yes, daughter, you know, why haven't you come? And I was like, I don't know. She was like, fine, it's finished. You will come this summer. Like, okay. So my very first country was the Gambia, the smiling coast of Africa. And I will tell you, if I didn't have responsibilities back stateside, I think I would have never come back. And I was just hooked, you know. I know you hear the stories of that quickening that happens to you the first time that you reconnect back to what was lost. I felt that. It was emotional, and I was like, what in the world? My eyes were watering. You know, it wasn't the wind. And I thought to myself, I want this all the time, you know. And then, you know, boom, hooked again. So I spent 1 month in the Gambia on vacation, you know, trailing behind Safi. Shout out to Safi. And her cousin and her family, her mother, they took care of me like I was their family, you know. I stayed in their large, extravagant villa, gated. And I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, the conversations were, you know, you too can, you know, own an estate like this. And you too, you know, can have this place as your vacation and invest in Africa. You belong here. And I thought, you know, no one had ever said that to me before. I mean, say the friends that I made in university, you know, my African Union friends from school. I thought, you know, I had only ever met, you know, the student African Student Union people school. They were in America, you know, living that American, you know, life. And I no one had ever told me outside of those people that, you know, I belonged on the continent. And here I was, you know, sitting in Safi's compound in her mother's house in the living room with her uncle, you know, and her cousin, and her, you know, and they were all just looking at me like, don't you know that, you know, that you belong here? And I was like, yes, yes, I know. I do belong here. And it was, you know, the seed was planted, you know, it was watered, it was just there. And then from then, I was trying to find a way, you know, to get back there. You know, and then I set off. I knew that I was going to work outside. I knew I was going to raise my daughters outside. I knew that I was going to frequent the continent, various countries, and that it was going to be not only a distant reminder of a part of me, but it was going to be a part of my everyday life. And so then my next country was Ghana. And, you know, I guess the rest is history. I, you know, set down some investments and some intentions there. And, you know, it's in the works. You know, shout out to Migrating Culture. I just felt like what I'm being led to is what's supposed to be. Not one step of the way did it feel like, okay, I shouldn't have done this, or maybe I'm wasting my time. I found the people warm and receiving and inviting, you know. I was taken in, and, you know, my heart is still there. I'm still there.
You represent the very first person on the planet, I mean, that I have ever witnessed to break a generational wealth curse with your children. I've only heard it in prayers and different religions. I've only heard it in movies. But once I met you and understood that your investment into Africa was in the same breath, you told me and the women that when I'm not on this planet anymore, my daughters will have an opportunity to have dominion over this planet. They won't be limited to one country. And for that, in that moment, I just realized that, you know, you're that super role model. And that's the reason why I wanted to bring you on the show today, because there are mothers, there are people with degrees that are not utilizing their skill set. There are parents who think that they can't, but when they can hear the testament of someone like you who does. Earlier in the show, I mentioned Songstress. Guys, this woman's song's voice, when I tell you, all over the world, from the most high-end yacht experience that you could be out in the perfect waters of Miss God in the heavens to hear her serenade you, or for people to whisk down and fly into Dubai to hear this songstress, you know, this woman. It's really, you are more than just the educator, the independent contractor, the mother, the singer. You also bring a skill set, and I know that the show will be ending soon, so I know the fans are going to be like, bring her back on, because what I'm about to tell you guys is going to make you write and say, we're going to need her to come on back onto the show. If you know how much representation matters, imagine knowing that when your children go to school and they have images in the hallway or anything that's representing them, there's a limited amount of images in the schools. But this sister teaches paid teachers. You better get online. You better go on and get, you want some images? You want Keisha to look like Keisha instead of Rebecca or Karen? You are also that bug for educators out there. Before we go, I got like 5 minutes left in the show. I need to know how any of my teacher friends can find you to purchase.
Well, right now, what I have something that is currently in development. What is available right now is still limited because it's still in development. But I am on Teachers Pay Teachers with Keys of Knowledge. That is my Teacher Pay Teachers store, and it is in development of promoting and projecting us, the images, you know, that we need to see. That is medicine to us, to see ourselves reflected back in the smallest ways and in the greatest ways, in every aspect of our lives. We want to see ourselves. We want to see, you know, us playing on the playground. We want to see us learning to conjugate verbs. We want to see us in the genres of literature. We want to see us. We want to see our hands when we're talking about learning how to write cursive. And you know, they have that little hand and it's, you know, showing you the strokes. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that I feel really strongly about, because as a teacher of us, and you know, for all of you who don't know, Kuwait is us. They're us.
Well, you know, no, break that down. Break that down. We can. What does us mean?
Kuwaitis, okay. And when I first moved here, I thought like everyone else thought. You know, Arab people are Arab. You know, they're not of the diaspora. They're not black. You know, they're not African. You know, and some of them will tell you, no, we're Arab, but you have to be here. You have to sit in the salon, you know, with some of them. You have to experience the culture. You have to be at a wedding, and they pull out those drums that look just exactly like the djembe drum, except for it has a handle. You have to go and be invited to a house where they say, yes, come and eat with us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having Eid dinner, or, you know, our daughter is getting married, or this is our Sunday fellowship or our Friday fellowship. Come and eat with us and see the food, you know, that looks like the same thing you would find in Ghana, in the Gambia, in Senegal, in Cameroon. And be like, wait a minute. You know, this is, you know, strangely familiar. Mm. You know, you have to be walking down the street and think that you saw your uncle and be like, well, where are you from? And he goes, I'm Kuwaiti. You know? And you're like, wait, what? You know, so, you know, it was a myth, you know, that I just thought, you know, they're not us, they're separate from us, but that's not true.
We're amongst family.
We're amongst family. And in teaching these brown children, it is likewise just as important for them to see themselves reflected, just like it was when I was teaching in America. So, you know, that became, and I couldn't find it. You know, it was like, you know how they sprinkle the pepper? It was like sprinkle.
Yes.
Pepper. And I wanted it to be poured like salt is. You understand? If you understand me. So I said, no, you know, if we have to pour it, we have to, you know, create that kind of thing. And even in my limited skills, you know, I began to just kind of try to find ways that, you know, teachers, black teachers, African teachers, can go out there and say, I'm looking for something that will reach out and connect with my students so that when they see this, it will be something that they can identify with, that they can, you know, connect with. Mm. And I want them to be able to find it at Keys of Knowledge. So that's in the works.
I'll post it up for everyone, those Keys of Knowledge. And I want to just thank you for coming on today, and looking forward to having you come back on the show. Because of the wealth of information, next time you come, I would love, matter of fact, to everybody that's out there, go on over to Keys of Knowledge with TeachersPayTeachers.com and make sure you mention, if you just come on and write a sister, hit me in the DMs and say that you heard this show. I think we'll find a special way to send out just a little offer. I'll send out something free to whoever, the number 10th caller, the 10th email, because we want to support our own. Thank you again, Miss Felicia, for coming, and we look forward to having an amazing 2021. As you bring your stories, more and more people are going to leave the fear that was inside of themselves. More mothers are going to leave the limitations they put on themselves and embrace the limitless blessings through the testimonies you've given. And we will always be here, right here at the Caribbean Radio Show, to welcome you in all of the upcoming adventures. And as we prepare to take this great Mecca journey back to Africa, everybody, when you get your passports ready, just know that Miss Felicia is the welcoming committee for the entire continent. Get ready. We'll send the information soon. Thank you again, Miss Felicia.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Limitless blessings to you and yours, guys. Until next time, do bye-bye, boo.